The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let me lies. Feline with a death wish. E right didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
So yesterday, in the middle of the show, Nick Caserio was in the midst of his presser, and I read some of the quotes, but now we have the audio. And one of the things that came out of the presser really stuck with me, because when you start to look at the Texans roster, there's a very clear lean to the defense when it comes to the best players. In fact, Will Anderson is a finalist for the Defensive Player of the Year. He is in that mix with Myles Garrett. When a guy sets the record for sacks, he's probably going to win it, but at least Will Anderson is a finalist. So he is one of many defenders you can point to and go, that's a top five player at his position. The Texans, hell, may have two of the top five defensive ends, and Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson, of course, Jalen Petrie, you want to call him a top five nickel, Derek Stingley, Kamari Lassiter, Kalen Bullock, a lot of guys who a lot of other teams would trade their guy in for if they were able to. That can't be said for the offense, and we saw that play out throughout the year. The defense carried this team to their 12 wins, and if you say in totality 13 wins because of the playoff win, and of course, they could not overcome the offense's ineptitude in the divisional round against the Patriots. But if you listen to Nick Caserio, this isn't a team that's supremely focused on fixing the offensive personnel. So here is Nick Caserio yesterday when asked about what they can do to improve the offense.
I mean, the goal is the same, try to put together a good team and get players in the building that we can go out there and play winning football with. You know, it's a combination of things. You know, make sure we got enough players. You know, are we doing some things schematically, or there's some things that have popped up in those games. So, again, you look at those games, you look at other games as well, look around the league, what are some teams doing, what are some things you might be able to incorporate. So, again, I mean, offense has really never been a concern. I mean, D'Amico and I have never sat in our office and said, like, well, our offense is a concern. Like, what do we got to do? Like, you know, we've got to play better. There's some things that we can do better. So try to build a good team. Try to get good players in here with the right mentality and the right mindset. I mean, yeah, I guess Nico Collins isn't a good enough player. So, I mean, maybe we can find a player better than Nico Collins. You know, I don't know. So we'll try to do the best we can. Try to bring good players in this building, you know, and try to put together a good team that gives us a chance to compete, you know, on each Sunday.
So, I forgot about the Nico Collins thing because there's another clip that we're going to pull from that soundbite that I called key quote. But the Nico Collins thing was Nick pounding his chest going, look, we've got a really good offensive player. But wouldn't you want to list, because I just went Stingley, Lassiter, Danielle Hunter, Will Anderson. I want, that's a list. Or you can say whether I use commas to denote all the good players, or maybe I did hyphens. I've got Will Anderson here. I've got Derek Stingley here. I've got Kamari Lassiter. However you want to see it transcribed on paper, I just listed off really good defensive players that any team would want. Nick Caserio just listed off one offensive player, and yet they're not focusing on personnel. Here's the key quote beyond the Nico Collins thing that I took from it.
I mean, D'Amico and I have never sat in our office and said, like, well, our offense is a concern. Like, what do we got to do?
Why not? Why haven't you sat in your office? You have put together a supremely talented defense, and yet when we start to look at your offensive depth chart, and we're going to equate this to college football because Sean and I love the sport, and it's portal season. The portal just closed. Some major guys are still waiting to make their decisions. Some guys are getting sued because they decided to make a decision. It's all part of the college football game. Sean, I asked you to pull up the Texans' depth chart before the show. Do you have that up?
Yes.
When you look at the Texans' offensive depth chart, how many guys, if we put it in college football terms, would you not bring in a portal player to replace them with?
How many would I not?
How many look like...
That would be shorter.
This is what I'm saying. How many guys would you say, hey, if a primetime portal player, let's equate Jordan Seaton, who is a big-time offensive tackle that's in the portal, visiting all as what they used to be called the bag schools, but now everyone can pay, like LSU, Oregon, Miami, Texas is in the mix. At least they were at one point. How many guys or a guy like that that you could bring in to replace one of the Texans, how many of those guys could keep their job if a player of that caliber was available?
Collins, Howard, I would say, at left guard, just like a, hey, listen, we need a program guy.
Sure.
You know, like we on the scale of, you know, how we're allocating money to go out and fix problems.
Uh-huh.
He's not a big enough problem to where we
got it.
Are looking to replace him. Ursary, probably looking to move him to right tackle and get in a Jordan Seaton type. Let's see. And maybe C.J. Stroud.
Yeah.
Although if this was college football, people would probably be hitting the eject button on C.J. Stroud.
In fact, you might have said that during the game.
Yeah, I said I wish he could hit the portal.
So when Nick Caserio talks about he and D'Amico not sitting down to discuss ways to really fix the offense outside of playing better, I ask, how can you look at what you've accomplished accruing defensive talent and not hope to do the same offensively? Now, of course, a roster gets very expensive, so you have to decide who you're divvying out money to. But how can you think this offensive roster is good enough when it has been clear that you have done a great job putting together a defensive roster and your offense is lacking? I don't know how many players outside of Nico Collins that I would want to keep if you gave me a better option. I think it's Nico. Like you mentioned Tytus Howard. Okay. You keep him, he's good enough, and allocating funds is a big deal. So you can't get an all-star or an all-pro or a pro bowler at every position. Understood. So Tytus Howard can stay. And you just drafted Ursary. Maybe the projection, hopefully, is that he can become a really good player. But you have one blue-chip player on your offensive football team. Why wouldn't you be sitting down looking for avenues to improve that offensive roster? And sure, the salary cap will determine what you can do, but you have the draft. You have proven you can hit on defenders. Let's see if you can hit on a couple of offensive guys. We'll see how they attack the draft, and maybe it'll be best player available. But I would hope, whatever magic they have that leads them to drafting really good defenders would transfer over to the offensive side of the ball. Because while I don't need you to be the best defensive team in football and the best offensive team in football, why not have something that isn't so slanted towards your defense and go, hey, this is a complete football team. You know, you could be the Seahawks. The Seahawks have a great defense. They're competent offensively, but you wouldn't look at that entire roster offensively and go, man, star, 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 star. But they are a better offense than you are. And I understand for whatever reason over the course of football history, teams that don't win it all, of course, seem to be very, if they're slanted one way, they can't have it good on the other. The teams who win generally have found a way to make it work on both sides of the ball. I don't need you to be the Peyton Manning before his arm decided to die on the Broncos offensively, match with their defense with Von Miller. But give me something that I can go into a game knowing, you know what? If the defense has a bad day for whatever reason, a bad day for a Texas defense could be 21 points. Like a bad day for the Texas defense, people would say was the Patriots game. They gave up 21 points to the Patriots. Of course, a pick six from Stroud made up the other seven. But you would say 21 points for the Texas defense, considering the average of points they gave up throughout the year, would be a bad day. And because we hold them to such a high standard. On a bad day like that, can I get the Texans offense to get me to 24 and win a game? That's what I'm looking for. And also not give away seven to the other team. I would hope that's just him just saying stuff. Like sometimes we talk about, hey, the guy up at the podium is just saying stuff. I need that to be the case where they are fully aware that the offense is the reason they didn't go further than they did. He attributed it to turnovers. We may get to that piece a little bit later. And that's right. But your offense wasn't good against the good teams all year long. So why wouldn't you look at it and sit down and go, you know what? How do we make this a more balanced offense? You got a great kicking game, at least with your kicker. Tommy Townsend, sometimes, whatever.
Punting game, that's a whole nother
thing. Yeah, whatever.
kicking,
yeah, punting, up and down.
Portal.
Get a new punter in here. Tommy Townsend would like to be back. We'll see if that happens. Your defense, spectacular. Give me average. Above, or you know what? I shoot for the stars. Give me the 14th. I know their offensive points per game was like 13th or whatever it is, but it didn't feel like the 13th best offense. And as you know, we talked about it, they only scored more touchdowns than some of the worst teams in football. Like six teams that they scored more offensive touchdowns than, they were like the worst team. So can you get me to a point where that's not where you are, like the 25th best offense as far as scoring touchdowns? Maybe you get to 18, 15 even. We're talking about a real Super Bowl team, a contender. Not a team who loses in the same spot they always lose in, the divisional round. So I hope after evaluating the season as a whole, because, hell, this was just a couple of days after they lose the divisional round, you sit down with DeMeco and go, hey, we're not good enough offensively. Execution isn't just going to be the thing that gets us over the top. We need better players offensively. You got one great player. Can I get like three or four good ones coupled with a great player? That might be enough.
Whoa.
To achieve something that the franchise has never achieved.
Okay, that's not. What? Four good offensive players? Come on.
Four out of 11?
Come on.
And then the rest of them are replacement level? I can't get that?
No. Nick Caserio saying, I don't think I've ever sat in a room and been like, we have to get better on offense.
How is that possible?
Well, also, I can tell.
That's a lie.
I can tell.
And by the way, that's a lie because you fired your OC last year. So, of course, you thought there was a reason to get better. So that's not even true.
Trade for Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, what are you talking about? You traded for Joe Mixon. What are you talking about? Of course you've thought of ways to get better personnel. Do it again this offseason. However it goes down should be one where you think to yourself, how do we get to be an offense that not just complements the defense, but maybe is capable on one of the rare occasions where the defense isn't spectacular, they're good enough to win the game anyway. We see these games in the postseason where the fourth quarter turns into a shootout just because the defense has thrown everything at these teams and the great players on offense adjust and the great play callers adjust and all of a sudden teams can't be stopped. Could a Texans offense in a game where the defense, for whatever reason, gets figured out, make up for it? No. Let me get to that point, and then we have something real here as opposed to hopes and dreams. But, hey, I guess we haven't heard that Nico Collins is a great player. No, Nick, we know he's a great player. The problem is you can't make a list of great players on offense. All right. We'll go to break.
Like, how many guys are between Nico Collins and the second best? Like, if you're just listing the best players on the team, how many defensive players are in between Nico Collins and the next offensive
next
player?
Next best offensive player? Whew. Who is the second best offensive player? Would you give that to C.J. Stroud? without the recency bias of the last couple games?
Yeah, because everyone else is. It's not like there's someone begging to be number two on the list. You know, like, it's either him or it's, again, like, Woody Marks, Titus Howard, Christian Kirk. But if we're not counting the playoffs with CJ Stroud.
The glove was Christian Kirk.
Yeah.
If not for the playoffs.
Yeah, playoff.
I think you could, obviously, you go the two DNs. You go the two cornerbacks. You go Jalen Petrie, Kalen Bullock. Where are we at now? Is that five?
Yeah.
No, that's six. The two ends, the two corners, corner. And the nickel and safety. That's six.
Yeah.
Is Henry Toutou and Azeez Alshayer? Well, Azeez Alshayer is a Pro Bowler, so he goes.
Yeah, I was going to say, Alshayer, definitely Toutou.
So before you get to CJ Stroud, you're probably at seven?
Yeah.
Seven defenders. And that's not even saying Nico is the best player on the team.
Yeah, Sheldon Rankins.
So there's a clear disparity between good to bad or average.
Tommy Togiai.
Defenders would fill the list. If you go a top 10 best players on the Texans, you get to probably eight defenders.
Yeah.
And maybe there are two offensive players in the top 10.
Yeah, that's probably it. That's probably.
And yet, he doesn't sit down with D'Amico.
Well, one kicker is in there. I think it's one offensive player, one kicker, eight defensive players.
So Kaimi's better at his job than CJ is. That's true. Yeah, you can't argue that. Now, of course, importance. Well, Kaimi was very important this year with all the field goals he had to kick.
Yeah, if you have a league average kicker instead of Kaimi Fairbairn, you probably some wins turn to losses.
Definitely, definitely. So there it is. That was one statement from Nick Cassero that I just can't believe they're going to approach this offseason with. Our offense is fine.
Did we talk about how, like, I wonder if this chips away at, like, the, like, I don't know, the PR strategy that Cassero has where he's just like, I mean, last season before the draft when he's like, we're not drafting for need. We never draft for need. I don't even know what
BPA.
That means.
They're always BPA, best player available.
And it's like, hey, maybe like turn down the smugness of the, like, hey, if I'm not worried about this offensive line, you shouldn't be worried about this offensive line. It's like,
Well, we'll hear from him on that O-line when we come back. We can see if the smugness remains. Yeah, we know he wasn't concerned and neither was D'Amico. We'll see if a year watching them and play and also the failure that was their play in the divisional round changes his mind, because the numbers will tell you they didn't fare very well throughout the year with the run block win rate and all those things. Some of the analytics of it all would tell you they weren't very good. We'll see what Nick Cassero thinks when we come back. We'll also get into, of course, the Rockets. There are some words from some pundits. Tim Legler talked about who could be the Rockets' most important player if they want to make a run to the finals. We'll hear from him on that. And Zach Lowe discusses why do NBA players hate Alperen Şengün? We will tell you why he's making that or asking that question a little bit later. But it's Sean and I till noon. If you want to join us, the number is 713-780-3776. We'll take your calls at any point. We will be back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Sean, are you familiar with the portion of Us Weekly that is called They're Just Like Us?
No.
It is something they do where they just say, hey, look at the celebrity doing something you would do.
Okay.
As if they're not human beings. Like, hey,
Ben Affleck getting coffee.
Yeah. This celebrity is reading Iron Flame as one of those romantic fantasy books, whatever. And I'm just looking at the current version of it. That's why I pulled that up. Daisy Ridley, better known as Rey for some people from Star Wars, reading Iron Flame. They're just like us. Well, Houston's very own Derek Lewis is just like you guys. Or maybe just like John Granato. If you ever thought that CJ Stroud's downturn in play was because of, you know, that time he was photographed walking Amber Rose to his car. Well, Derek Lewis is just like you.
What moves would you like to see the Texans make for next season?
I guess we got to see what's going on with CJ. I think ever since we've seen him show up with Amber Rose at the softball game a few years ago and Kim Kardashian and all that, and I'm like, man, it might be like a curse for him.
So, if you thought those two women at any point in time were a curse to an athlete you thought highly of, so does Derek Lewis. I don't know that if Nick Caserio has a way to combat the alleged Amber Rose, Kim Kardashian curse, but there it is. And we know Northwest loves to dress up like CJ. At least she did one time. So
unintentionally,
but she did look like him. So she was actually trying to be Kai Cenat, but she just looked like CJ Stroud. So there it is. Derek Lewis, just like us, thinks Amber Rose was a curse.
Put a hex on him.
Yeah, I don't know how she would have done it. I mean, I know what you guys are thinking, but I just can't say it. What the hexable or what caused the hex? I can't say it, but we all can guess.
I mean, look at what happened to Kanye West. You know?
Oh no! I mean, sure.
Wiz Khalifa's doing all right.
Yeah, I mean, he was able to overcome. But there it is. Thank you to Derek Lewis, Houston legend. Let's move to. More from Nick Caserio. Nick Caserio was asked about the O-line. We know the famous quote that certainly gets a lot of run here. If I'm not concerned, D'Amico's not concerned, you shouldn't be concerned, when he was talking to a fan at some type of fan fest thing right after the draft, when a fan rightfully questioned why they weren't more assertive in accruing offensive line talent and to protect their quarterback. Well, now that the season is over, here's Nick Caserio giving a quick review of how that offensive line played.
Eventually it kind of settled down once Tay was able to kind of settle in at left tackle. Tay played really good football. I'd say he made some young football player mistakes, and there's some things technique-wise that he can certainly improve. You know, we felt once Trent got healthy that Trent would go out there and play pretty good football, and he did. And I'd say, you know, Jake Andrews gave us a good level of play. You know, he probably played, honestly, hurt. He probably played on one leg for about half a year, which kind of speaks to his toughness. And then Ed had a good year. He probably had his best year. He's a free agent, you know, kind of have to see how that goes. So, I mean, overall, it certainly improved. You know, there's always things that we can do better, but we got contributions from everybody. You know, Blake had to go out there and start against the Chargers, played pretty good football. I mean, J-Pat, we've always kind of viewed him as a swing guy, kind of inside, sort of that 6th, 7th offensive lineman. That's kind of the role that he had. So we have some players who will be free agents in that group. We have some players who are under contract for next year. So, you know, I'm sure there'll be some different players in that group next year, but we also have some guys that, you know, under contract that are coming back. So, you know, looking forward to kind of putting that group together. But, I mean, overall, like, they were improved. I think the pass protection was improved relative to last season. So there's always a combination of factors involved. It's personnel, it's scheme, there's a lot of different things. It's not one particular thing. But overall, that group played, you know, pretty competitive football.
So there's some numbers out regarding that group. Pass block win rate, this is according to PFF, 30th. Run block win rate, 32nd. PFF pass block rate, 23rd. So this is over the course of the season. So the numbers would tell you, not great. We, with our eyes, can say they were better than last year, but not to the level where you hope them to be when it comes to being a real contender. So will that be improved by simply having continuity with more guys working with Cole Popovich for a second year, or will they look to improve that talent across the board? Because it was a revolving door. In fact, you picked up Trent Brown last offseason off the scrap heap. When he got healthy, he immediately became a better right tackle than you really had. You hope for another jump from Ursary. And guard to guard, you're not great. But now we're hearing that Jake Andrews was injured playing on one leg. I mean, it would explain the way the Patriots treated him. The Patriots dominated. They could not run the football. We saw it. And certainly your quarterback doesn't seem to show any confidence in that O-line, considering the bad feet The jitteriness, it looks like he feels when he's in the pocket or shows when he's in the pocket. So there are some questions to answer. Better, but not good. So we'll see what they do from there. There's more from Canserio we'll get to as we get further on in the show. But those are things that kind of struck me as we went along.
I like the Ed Ingram's going to be a free agent. It's like, so we're going to lose him? Or
yeah.
Do you think he'll probably be available to come back?
Did he outplay what you were willing to pay him?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I mean, it doesn't sound like it. It sounds like it was all compliments. So.
No, I know, but
the rest of the league probably not as thrilled, but we like it.
No, this is what I'm saying. Ed Ingram probably had his best year. Does that mean Ed Ingram has priced himself out of what you're willing to pay, or are you going to bring him back because you think he was one of your better, if not best, offensive linemen? We'll see what his market is.
Is there another offensive line that's like terrible, and they're like, please, anybody, sure. Give us Ed Ingram, because that's what the Texans did last year. Was like, yeah,
anybody sure will do, and that body was Ed Ingram. Turned out to be one of their better choices. So maybe there's an. I'm sure there
the
are
Raiders.
Bad
the Raiders.
The Raiders would do fine. If I don't know who their system will be because they don't have a coach yet, and the Texans got away from that wide zone stuff. So if it's a wide zone guy, maybe Ed Ingram doesn't fit. But if it's more in line with what the Texans do, maybe Ed Ingram would be in play for another team.
All right. So that's what we're worried about is.
I am not worried if Ed Ingram leaves, but maybe the Texans are.
Yeah, Nick Casario sounds worried.
Well, he's not concerned about anything. We know that to be the case.
He's like, why are we wasting our time talking about offense? Let's talk about defense some more, guys, huh? Why are so many questions about this offense?
The problem, Nick, if you are being Nick here, the problem is there's so many questions because the defense had to answer for all the issues you guys created for the team. The defense had all the answers. Your offense had very few. That's why there are so many questions.
Yeah.
Except you're not concerned because you and D'Amico don't really talk about how to improve the offense.
Small offense.
By the way, I was talking about this yesterday. If someone had to be the fall guy, if they were actually concerned about offense, Gerard Johnson, I mentioned that name because it doesn't look like Nick Haley's going to go because Nick Casario said yesterday the expectation is that Nick Haley's going to be back. Well, Gerard Johnson has been someone who's got interview requests, I think, at this point. Now, of course, when that happens, he has to – that the NFL generally is, hey, it's a promotion, so I guess you're looking at possibly – I wonder how that works. If you just named him run game coordinator or passing game coordinator but not the OC, is that a promotion? That's why someone can grab him. But the Dolphins have requested to talk to Gerard Johnson and also the Texans, James Lipfert, who is part of their – who was part of their executive level, is being interviewed by the Falcons for the general manager job. Of course, Matt Burke has already interviewed for the Cardinals head coaching job. So they have some names or coaches / execs that people are interested in. So Gerard Johnson, not a guarantee to come back if he aces whatever interview the Dolphins have him in for. Could be for an OC, could be for like the job that Bobby Sloak had last year, passing game coordinator. So maybe there will be some changes, but forced upon the Texans as opposed to them making their own decision. We'll see about that. That's courtesy of Aaron Wilson. All right, we'll go to break. We'll get to some Rockets stuff because while we didn't really talk about the All-Star voting. Zach Lowe has some questions about Şengün's reputation with the players because apparently it's not high. He was not voted, or at least not given a lot of votes when it came to the All-Star game from the players. The media and the fans judged him differently, but his own peers, not impressed. We'll get to that when we come back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD, 97.9 HD2.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Some clarity on the Gerard Johnson interview. I never seen these reporting that it's for the OC job with the Dolphins. The Dolphins hired Jeff Hafley, Packers former defensive coordinator, and another Packers exec to be the GM. So we will see what Packers South does as they try to become a winner again. And maybe Gerard Johnson is in line to help them. We'll see on that. But Gerard Johnson requested to be interviewed. At least the Dolphins have requested Gerard Johnson for an interview. And the Texans, of course, will likely honor that request because that's generally what happens when a guy is in line for a promotion. So we'll see if Gerard Johnson gets a promotion to OC with the Dolphins. Okay, as we went to break, I mentioned the All-Star voting. And while we've talked about the how convoluted it is, one thing that's pretty clear is whatever you think about Alperen Sengun, particularly if you're a fan of his, NBA players think less of him. I don't know what it's about because we've heard in the past, like, guys like him, like Paul George, I think, on a podcast was a big fan when he was still Podcast P. And we know the NBA media is a big fan of Alperen Sengun, the Baby Jokic thing and all that stuff. But the players who have to go against him game by game, at least when it comes to All-Star voting, aren't that high on him. Here's Zach Lowe. I think he's with maybe Kirk Goldsberry, but this is Zach Lowe on his podcast talking about the players' perception of Alperen Sengun.
Look, the rankings, there's like a bunch of people tied for spots, but it's just like Sengun, 32nd among players in player voting. Here are some of the players Sengun is behind.
Wait, say it again.
32nd. He's 32nd, player ranked 32. Here are some of the players he's behind. Julius Randle, 13th, fine. Ja Morant, 27th. Jaden McDaniels, 21st. Dylan Brooks, 17th. Stephon Castle, 13th. Are the Spurs ballot stuffing here?
Nothing wrong with that one.
Dante DiVincenzo, 17th. Love Dante. Sure. I mean, just like on and on. What did Sengun do to all these people?
I don't know, but that is a stunning result. Sengun, who both of us had clearly in our reserves category, meaning top 12, right? So
Christian Brown was 27th. He hasn't played much in like a month and a half.
It's a stunning result from the players. But yeah, for those interested, it is a fascinating thing to review these PDFs that summarize where the players had guys ranked, where the fans and where the media had them ranked. Generally speaking, the fans and the media are pretty aligned, but the players can go rogue here.
So when you see reports that Bronny got votes from the players, how seriously can you take it? I think I saw someone say, you know who voted for these for him? And then they put up a picture of LeBron and Draymond at some wedding as the two guys. Draymond has a fascination with the James family, and maybe he did vote for Bronny. But Alperen Sengun, 14 votes from the players. As far as the guys who are even on this list of potential players who can make the All-Star team, you look at him at 15 alongside guys like Jimmy Butler and Amen Thompson got 15 from the players, total votes. The only guy who got less as far as real contenders was Aaron Gordon. About players you would think, he's a pretty good player. Aaron Gordon's the one who got 14 votes from the players, so you think, that's a little low for Aaron Gordon, right? Guy who's won a title, been a starter, a multi-year starter for a contender. I don't know what it is. Is it Alperen? You think it's a lack of respect for his game, or they just don't like him on the court? Because I think the game is something you can't take a shot at.
Yeah, I feel like it might be as simple as, like,
they didn't even think of him?
Yeah, they want one Rocket, and they're like, well, got to go KD.
Maybe.
Are we going to get two Rockets? Or is an NBA player going to write down two Rockets?
I mean, as the 4 seed in the West, maybe not.
But
I know
when the votes were counted, they're like the 7 seed.
Yeah, that's true.
That's why using the seeding, I think, is whatever.
Maybe it fluctuates depending on a night or two.
Oh, they're a home court team. But
all of a sudden,
half game away from being a play-in.
Yeah, you win 3 in a row. You're now a home court team after being in the play-in. Yeah, so I need vote and then comment. That's what makes it fun. You guys are anonymous anyway. So, like, when you do a survey or when you like will you say, I want to cancel this membership, and then
Give me a reason.
Give me a reason why, and they give you a list of reasons.
15 bullet points.
And then you go, hey, Alperen Şengün, or why didn't you vote for him? Bagless, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Complainer, whiner, whatever it is. What elbowed me in the face a couple of times. I don't know, but he's one of the lower-ranked guys for guys you think, hey, this guy's on a good basketball team. He's their second-best player. Overall, just respected by NBA media.
Yeah. And like you said, respect by NBA, in post-game, whatever. Because I remember when, I think it was when they went 41-41. It was that, first year of, this is a semi-real basketball team.
Yeah.
It was, every post-game there would be some sort of, man, that's Şengün. It'd be just
he's
some,
tough. Yeah,
some version
like
of that.
Yeah.
Of, they're in good hands with Şengün and Amin Thompson and I guess Jalen Green.
Jalen not so much.
That was the funniest part, that they would throw so much praise on everyone, Ime Udoka and then and Jalen Green, you know?
You gotta mention him. Can't leave him out. Yeah, sure.
He had the ball a lot. So I fall more in the camp of you'll probably just drive yourself crazy trying to think of why NBA players voted the way they did in this. Because, like you said, Bronny James got two votes. So, there's a lot of this guy got this many votes. All right. Sure.
Now, he only got one total vote from the media, too. So, Bronny? But they have Alperen.
Oh.
but they have less votes to give out. There's less media members voting as opposed
it's
to players.
450.
Yeah. So, there it is. Alperen Şengün. All-star in our hearts, but only ours, apparently. Not the players who play against them every day.
It's so funny that the starters, it's a combination of fans, media,
and
players.
To be clear, you had to vote for all-star starters, not all-star.
Yeah, that's
right. That's how it goes. Who do you think should start? And then I get
Bronny James.
And if you okay. It kind of invalidates anything you want to have to say to give the guys credit who are voting when Bronny James got two starter votes.
It's not all players.
Yeah.
I will say
it's just whoever did that.
But
I can, if we're putting it in that context, I can go, okay, I could get a lot of players not thinking he shouldn't be a starter.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That makes sense. If we go that way.
And again, if you're going to vote for a starter, you're probably going to go with Kevin Durant if you're an NBA player that's well, I just know Kevin Durant has been way better, and I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. I think fans and players are the most deferential to what a player, the star and all-star part, that they're more this guy's a star. You got to be an all-star.
Yeah. I guess particularly when you place it in, these guys are voting for all-star starters, it doesn't surprise me that they only got 14.
And then the coaches just choose the reserve.
Yeah.
So it is funny that a fourth group just gets added who could have wildly different opinions of everyone. So if you're the sixth, this would never actually happen, but if you had the six most votes to be a starter, it's reasonable to think you're not guaranteed a spot to be a reserve, because you could have six votes or be the sixth highest vote getter for starters, but the coaches all are like, get this guy out of my face. You know, it could just be a guy that for whatever reason the media or the fans just love. It happened way more when it was all fan voting, whereas I don't think Zaza Pachulia is going to make the all-star team. This is why they have this system now.
Yeah. So while the 14, when you put it in context of him being a starter, maybe it's not nuts, but
the people around him,
but Stephon Castle. More people think he should be a starting player in the All Star game than Alperen Şengün. More players think that than Alperen Şengün. That when you stack him up against the players who got more votes, then you can be like, what the hell? What are we talking about? But hey,
I like Zach Lowe's opinion or his. You know, or are they just stuffing the ballot box?
Maybe
is it? I mean, it could just be everyone on the Spurs just being like, man, Stephon Castle, Victor Wembanyama. Let's go.
If we go by what we assume,
that's how I would
it just all for the most part, Şengün was just voted by his Rockets teammates.
I would just,
and no one else really thought he should be a starter then.
If I was an NBA player and someone handed me a piece of paper, said vote for the All-Stars, maybe I'd try to put some thought into it, but chances are I'd just write down our starting lineup. Just here you go. There you go.
You have
don't care.
coach's poll energy.
Yeah, exactly. Kirk Zanetti's coach's poll.
Yeah.
Everyone giving him credit for his coach's poll because it's the most different. It's like, all right, that's like a quality control coach's poll. All right.
And he put, and it's the most
and
important
signed
thing
his
he
name at the bottom.
It's the most important thing he does every week, and he really wants to put some real
he's in here thinking about it,
real
taking
thought into
bowl,
it.
Bowl results into account.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, who was it? There was one coach who his final coach's poll, he had Miami at 5. Like, all right, buddy. Okay, sure.
Hey. I mean, again, if I was a coach, we talk about the calendar. It has to change. Like, think about how busy these guys are at this part of the year. And it's like, hey, by the way, you want the coaches? Here's the coaches' poll. By the way, I know Miami was the 10 seed, but actually they're playing in the national championship game. Yeah, whatever.
And gave the one seed who was people thought might be the best team of all time their best game of the year. Or at least certainly the best game, but playoff at least.
Yeah.
All right, we'll go to break with that. Alfred Sengun may still be an all-star.
But not if the players have their
way. Yeah, but not the players have their way. Lauri Markkanen will certainly take a spot for the Euro team. And maybe even Dylan Brooks, considering he's Canadian as well. He got more starter votes than Alperen did. All right, we'll go to break with that. We will do some more Rocket stuff when we come back, because Amen Thompson could be the key to a Rockets run, according to Tim Legler. We'll hear from Tim Legler when we get back.
ESPN 97.5.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.